Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Joel Gilbert, director and producer of a new documentary film, Bob Dylan Revealed. Stick around. If you gotta serve somebody, it might as well be me, folks. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their very cool service. I love listening to books on tape. If you've never tried it before, actors or sometimes the authors themselves read to you. It's great for the commute, the beach, or even unwinding before bed. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's enormous library of titles, including today's top Bob Dylan-related bestsellers, such as Bob Dylan in America by Sean Wilentz, Chronicles Volume 1, narrated by Sean Penn, or even David Haydu's Positively 4th Street. Here's an excerpt from Chronicles Volume 1, narrated by Sean Penn.
At last I was here, in New York City, a city like a web too intricate to understand, and I wasn't going to try. I was there to find singers, the ones I'd heard on record. Dave Van Ronk, Peggy Seeger, Ed McCurdy, Browning McGee, and Sonny Terry, Josh White, the new Lost City Ramblers, Reverend Gary Davis, and a bunch of others. Most of all, to find Woody Guthrie. New York City, the city that would come to shape my destiny. Modern Gomorrah. I was at the initiation point of square one, but in no sense a neophyte.
You can even download Will Eisner, Spirited Life, the biography of the comic book and graphic novel legend, which I wrote and will read to you personally. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience who won't figure out that my audio failed to record during the following conversation in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I can't imagine the challenge of trying to capture the career of Bob Dylan in a documentary film. For starters, which Dylan? Folk Dylan? Dylan Gone Electric? Or Dylan the social activist, the poet, the singer, or even the mumbler? In his documentary film, Bob Dylan Revealed, director Joel Gilbert spends more than an hour collecting stories and concert film about all those Dylans. It's a slice that adds texture to our knowledge of the legendary performer. Then, about an hour and 10 minutes in, Gilbert turns his film upside down to reveal a new focus, Dylan's short-lived, controversial, born-again Christian phase. It's thick with Christianity, spreading the word of the Lord, Jews for Jesus, and the Vineyard Christian Fellowship Church. Now, what I don't get from the film, with which Dylan clearly did not cooperate, is why Dylan set aside a lifetime of Judaism for born-again Christianity. To his credit, Gilbert's film doesn't avoid the fact that the public, and many Christians, didn't get this Bob Dylan. The same thing happened when Dylan subsequently jumped teams again, giving up Christianity for extreme Orthodox Judaism and Chabad. Why? We may never know. And that's not necessarily a fault of Gilbert's work, it's just the mystery of Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan Revealed was released on DVD and VOD in May. You can check out the trailer on BobDylanRevealed.com. Joel Gilbert, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, Mr. Media. Thanks for having me. Dylan was there at the seminal period of the Civil Rights Movement, and he wrote all those great acoustic songs that became the anthems of the Civil Rights Movement, Blowing in the Wind, Times Are Changing, and that's what endeared him to so many fans. He was the acoustic god, the voice of the generation, the voice of a protest movement. So when he decided to go electric and play rock and roll music, that was very fascinating to see how his fans felt betrayed, very personally betrayed, that he was no longer carrying the torch, so to speak. And as you go and watch through the film, you get an idea. It literally reveals what that was about for Bob Dylan. He was and is a poet and a writer who describes things happening around him. So what was happening at the time was the Civil Rights Movement, and he wrote beautiful songs about it. but that didn't necessarily mean that he was going to be like Joan Baez and spend his life working on that particular issue. He went on, when rock and roll music happened, he wrote rock and roll music. Later in the film, when the Christian revival movement was sweeping Los Angeles in the late 70s, all the entertainers were into Bible study classes and Jesus people, he became immersed in that and wrote about that. So when you watch the film, you will discover who Bob Dylan is from his point of view and why he wrote certain songs at certain times. And you'll see that obviously the film is a labor of love, and Dylan's different incarnations throughout his five-decade career are all very fascinating and worthy of a film themselves. Well, I was and am a big Bob Dylan fan, and I initially started a Bob Dylan tribute show in the late 90s, a look-alike, sound-alike recreation band called Highway 61 Revisited. And I met through that effort, we were performing at a charity event, and Mickey Jones, Bob Dylan's original drummer from 1966 Electric Tour with the band, happened to be at that charity event as an MC. So I said to the organizers, I said, hey, when this guy shows up, send him up to the stage. So sure enough, he came up. I dismissed my drummer pretty quickly. And Mickey played several songs with us, like a Rolling Stone, Ballad of a Thin Man, Leopard Skin Pillbox Hat. And I literally felt like I was there in 66. His drumming style was so unique and powerful. So he invited me to his house and said, hey, I got to show you some home movies that I made of the Bob Dylan 1966 tour, if you can help me find them. So we dug through his garage and found them, and that's kind of how it all began. Yeah, I do a recreation, so that's kind of my professional hobby, and then I became a filmmaker more as a real profession. Actually, over the years, as I interviewed Dylan band members over time, after I interviewed them, I'd say, hey, how'd you like to come play with my band? And they would all say, yeah, man. So in my band today are actually four full-time Dylan band members: John Jackson, the guitarist from the 90s, Winston Watson, the drummer, you remember those guys from MTV Unplugged, Scarlett Rivera, the violinist from the 70s, the Hurricane, Rolling Thunder is in the band. We've had Rob Stoner, the bass player in the band. So my joke to the audience, I say, if this keeps up, I'm going to be replaced by Bob, and I won't be in the band anymore, within the circle. So I've learned quite a lot about Dylan intimately that is reflected in the film. Well, we're talking about a 50-year time period career, and there were seminal people in each period. For instance, producer Jerry Wexler, you hang on every word of how he came to find that Bob Dylan wanted to record religious music. He thought he was being hired by Dylan to make a new Dylan album, and when he showed up, he said, it's wall-to-wall Jesus, and he didn't know if he could do it. So there are people like him. Ramblin' Jack Elliott doesn't do many interviews. I have an extensive interview with him. I dug up Reuben Hurricane Carter in Toronto, Canada, behind six layers of security, and he never did an interview ever since that time when he got out of prison. So each interview is very fascinating in its own right. Pastor Bill Dwyer, Bob Dylan's Bible class teacher, talked about the conversion to Christianity, all the inside information, how it came about. It was a very sincere effort. And I'd say that, you know, Mickey Jones, Scarlett Rivera, every single interviewee had something substantial that would not have been in the film. Well, you know, they were playing for an audience of inmates that were mostly African-American who were into blues and rhythm. And she had that Canadian kind of whitewash, folky kind of music that had no rhythm to it, so they couldn't get into it. So she did get booed when Dylan showed up to the Clinton State Prison to perform with the Rolling Thunder Review for Hurricane Carter. And so she did, you know, say some ugly things to the Hurricane. But she's known to be a piece of work pretty much by everyone, so it wasn't too surprising. Yeah, we left in pretty much everything that was anybody said that was of any significance, and we'll leave that to people to watch the film to check it out, which is, by the way, it's also not only on DVD, but it came out on VOD, Video On Demand, 100 million homes. So if you have cable TV, DirecTV, Dish Network, U.S. and Canada, you could find it under documentaries.
Hey, this is comedian Bill Engvall. I know what you're thinking. You cannot be a blue-collar comic because you were on the show with Mr. Media.
Well, you know, Joel Salvin, based in San Francisco, was there for Dylan's very first Christian religious concerts. Once Slow Train Coming came out, that was the first venue that Bill Graham had booked Bob Dylan in 7 nights in a row at the Fox Warfield Theater, downtown San Francisco. So Salvin was the rock critic, still is, for San Francisco Chronicle. And they all went down there expecting maybe a few songs. You know, what's a concert, what's a new album, a few songs off the new album, and then a Bob Dylan concert. And what they got was actually a Christian revival, Bob Dylan's Christian revival tent, where he sang exclusively songs from the religious album of a very strong evangelical nature. It's not like he became a Presbyterian. He became an evangelical Christian and sermonized from the stage, as well as sang all these very heavy-duty religious songs. So in my film, Joel Salvin tells the story that the next day he had published in the San Francisco Chronicle a very critical piece entitled Bob Dylan's God-Awful Gospel. And so apparently he was not home, but Bob Dylan had called his house, and his wife answered, and Dylan told her, tell Mr. Salvin he's lost his license to review me. So that was pretty funny, and Joel Salvin has a number of wonderful comments in the film. I would not say that there's no Dylan music in the film, and it was not frustrating. I had my Bob Dylan band members play the soundtrack from my band. So you'll hear Scarlett Rivera's beautiful violin, you'll hear the drumming, the bass playing, and I even sing some songs that aren't Dylan songs. Maybe they're traditional songs that Dylan sang in the early years or on the Rolling Thunder Review. So when you hear the soundtrack, you'll pretty much feel it sounds like an unreleased Bob Dylan album. And we even have an accompanying a CD that had come out some time ago with some of those songs on it. So the music is Dylan-esque. And because it has so many of his band members, you'll find that it's very satisfying. You won't even realize that, you know, Dylan isn't on the soundtrack, but it is a full musical soundtrack. You don't need rights for spoken word. Dylan has the rights to his published, copyrighted music and his lyrics. But if a public person speaks in public, no matter what they say, that's not copyrighted. So we have several very strong sermons from Dylan, little excerpts on stage saying things like Russia's going to come down and attack the Middle East, and the lion will lie down with the lamb, and so on. An interesting interview with Dylan exclusive is in this film. No one else ever had it. It was known that he'd done an interview with KDKA in Pittsburgh in 1981 after the concert. And I had contacted KDKA, and they told me the same thing that I guess they had been telling people for years, was the tape was lost. So I said to them, let's go find it anyway. And they were kind of perturbed to hear that, and they said, well, you'll have to speak to someone else. And I talked to their archivalist, who found it in a warehouse by the river, the Allegheny, and they said, it's going to be located in thousands of boxes. There's no way we can find it. So I said, let's find it anyway. So they didn't like that. And sure enough, you know, persistence pays off. About 2 weeks later, I got the tape in the mail. So you can see Dylan talking about his religious music. It's very fascinating. He says things like, you know, the old songs aren't going to save him, and I'm not going to save him. So it's pretty interesting. I find that whole period very fascinating. Well, no, I think word had gotten around, certainly, by the time he was in Pittsburgh. That's where that tape you saw was from. But Dylan fans were so you know, in love with Dylan. And at that time, he toured very rarely, only every several few years. So they would go to see him regardless, hoping to hear the old stuff, even though word had gotten around. So once they were there and it was only the religious music, some of them were very, very disappointed. Now, what occurs to me when you see people walking out and angry, it occurs to me that that was an even more profound or similar or more profound statement to when he went electric and also alienated his audience. In the late early 60s, his audience was the acoustic folk music, and he went electric and abandoned and alienated his audience. Even more so in the late 70s, think about what was happening at that time. Disco was in the air, punk, Kool and the Gang, and Dylan's fans were sticking with him from the 60s because they loved that old stuff. And he comes out and now he becomes an evangelical Christian. So if there was a more antipathetical place to go with music at that time than evangelical Christianity, I don't know what that was. So I think for Dylan fans, Dylan turning 70 is not the event. It's when they say, well, if Dylan's 70, how old am I? And that's when it becomes a little more shocking and personal. So it is a milestone. And like I said, I think everyone should check out the film and see a nice career retrospective. And the trailer's at BobDylanRevealed.com. I've been in touch with his management over the years. I have licensed Dylan songs and done various projects with them. My band performed at the opening and the closing of the Bob Dylan exhibit at Experience Music Project a couple of years ago, if you've heard of that, also at the Skirball. So we've been in touch with them. Dylan is himself is somewhat reclusive, doesn't do many interviews, so haven't really expected or tried to arrange an interview with Dylan himself. But a lot of people close to him, obviously, have come out and seen the band and people from his office and certainly, obviously, his band members. Well, I've had comments over the years, again, through friends or band members that, you know, he knows about the band and he's aware of it. He told Winston, our drummer, that when he saw him, he said, thanks for thinking of me. You know, so I think he considers it a compliment. You know, the corporate website, Highway61ENT for entertainment.com, you can see all the films and came out with a Paul McCartney film last year. It was a lot of fun. And I think anyone would check out. You can also buy the DVD at various bookstores online. But the place to buy it, of course, is Mr. Media. All right, thanks for having me.
For more original interviews with America's top documentary filmmakers, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss another show. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many parts of rural Minnesota. And show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. We're also supported by thepartyauthority.us. Call DJ Ira for all your party entertainment needs nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJs or visit their website, thepartyauthority.us. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also follow Mr. Media on Facebook, Twitter, or our new YouTube video channel. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate you giving up a piece of your day and spending it with Mr. Media. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you next time, everybody.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free download at Stitcher.com. That's Stitcher.com.
Hi, this is Raquel Welch. Yes, that Raquel. And I'd rather stick needles in my ears and listen to one more minute of Mr. Media Radio.